It's certainly good to be here with you tonight. Glad to see all those present with us here tonight. I know there's some that's been here every night and some maybe just tonight, but we appreciate whatever time you were able to be with us and through this meeting and to help it make be successful. Just kind of give us a summary of some things we talked about this week, kind of the theme of our meeting this week, as well as our lesson on Sunday night, was being a faithful Christian is a way of life. And I think we have to understand that it's not one thing we do or two, but it's the things we do throughout our lives without even thinking about it, kind of like a muscle memory. On Monday night, we talked about sin, public and private. Tuesday night, we talked about faith and trust in God. Wednesday night, we talked about God's wins. Well, we have to be on God's side. Thursday night, we talked about worry, fear, and anxiety and how we can use the scriptures to help relieve these things in our life, but there's actions that we need to do as well. And tonight, we'd like to talk about always ready. You know, we always think about different things that happened in the past that sticks in our minds, and I'll share a couple of those that occurred to me. In March 27, 1994, there was a tornado that came through. We were living in the Anniston area, attended Fairview Church out there on 78, and tornado sirens went off during a church service. But, you know, that building's a lot like this one. There wasn't anywhere to go. We didn't have a basement. We didn't have anything, so we just kept on with our service. But, you know, that tornado that went right over us there went on up to Piedmont, Alabama, and hit Goshen Church. And there was 19 people killed that day. And, you know, that just really makes us think about, of course, we know the Lord could come back at any minute, but, you know, those people that day, they went to church. They started the service, but 19 of them never heard the amen. You know, and we just need to think about those things, so we have to always be ready. And another instance, it comes to mind, of course, it affected all of us, and we all remember is that of September the 11th, 2001. You know, I remember somebody coming into my office. I was working up in Heflin at the time, and you know, said, you know, planes hit the World Trade Center. And, you know, you think, well, maybe it's an accident. Hope it's an accident. And then a few minutes later, somebody comes in and says, a plane hit the other one. And so, you know, we knew it was a terrorist attack. We knew it was bad. And, you know, about 3,000 people lost their lives that day. But, you know, it affected people in a lot of ways. We had one person from our plant was on the way to Atlanta to get on an airplane. And, of course, remember, all planes in the whole country except for military planes were kept from flying. Something that's never happened before. We had another four or five people who were at a plant of ours down in Mexico. They couldn't get home. It took them over a week to get home. But the other thing I remember about that, you know, several people in our office there that, you know, you could tell it really affected them because they thought this could be the end. And, you know, we joined hands and prayed together for, I guess, the first time ever. But, you know, people were concerned about their soul. But you know, there's not going to be a time to get ready when Christ comes back. You know, our life could be over, the car accident or any kind of disease. Again, the Lord could come back at any time. So we want to just think about that we must be always ready. That's the only way it can be. Next, we want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, is the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Thessalonica. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall see peace and safety and sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. So again, it tells us that the Lord comes as a thief in the night. We're not going to know when he's going to come. You know, we read in the scripture, and I think it's been mentioned maybe this week, you know, some people think they know when the end of time is, but they don't, because God says nobody knows. And then also in 2 Peter chapter 3, him of verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So we see here again, it tells us that the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You know, there won't be any thousand-year reign, as some teach. There won't be any second chances. The Lord will come back, and that'll be the end. We won't have any other opportunity. But we must always be prepared. Let's look over to Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 42. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 42, says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord hath come. But this know, that if the goodman of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So again, time after time this warning was given. You know, most of these scriptures were written about 2,000 years ago, and they were true then, and they're even more true today, because we're one day closer to Jesus coming back today than we were yesterday, even though nobody does know the time. Let's look over to another passage, Matthew chapter 25, begin with verse 1. We use this passage Sunday night. We want to go through it again, because then it also talks about us being prepared. Matthew chapter 25, begin with verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto..." You know, even though Jesus taught in parables, these parables are just as if it were true, and it teaches us a lesson. And when it says the kingdom of heaven is like this, it means that's what it's all about. That's why we're here tonight. We want to make it to heaven one day. And he's telling us this parable applies to that. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And when the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for you and us. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." So again, we see a very simple example of being prepared. And then we notice also in verse 10, it says, when the bridegroom came and the 5 wise virgins came in, the door was shut. And I believe God shut that door, just as he shut the door when Noah built the ark. Because, you know, you and I might decide to open that door back up. Because, you know, but God has perfect judgment. And he knows the times and what's going to happen. And he expects us to be ready. So we must always be ready. Next, we look over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, begin with verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, begin with verse 1. The Apostle Paul here speaking to Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So we see here in verse 4 that God desires all to be saved. Jesus died on Calvary's cross and gave his blood for all men and all mankind, for me and for you. And whether or not we take advantage of that sacrifice through obedience to the gospel is up to us, but it is God's desire that all men will be saved. But you know, right the opposite of that is true, is that few will be saved. Look at Matthew chapter 7, begin with verse 13. We see Jesus speaking here. Matthew chapter 7, begin with verse 13. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So not only it tells us that the few are going to be saved, and the majority are going to be lost. You know, we don't know exactly how many, but it does say that it's a narrow way, and there be few that find it. Let's look also over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, begin with verse 18. For Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So in this passage, it talks about in the days of Noah in the ark that few were saved then. It was eight souls. You know, it doesn't say in the Bible for sure, but I've read that they might be as many as a million or more people on the earth at that time. You know, it tells us that Noah prepared the ark as God told him to do, but also it said Noah that was a preacher of righteousness. And it took him 120 years to build the ark. And Noah was preaching righteousness that whole time. And how many people listened? The whole million? No. Only eight. Eight souls. That was what was few in that time. And it was Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. So we see few can be very, very few. We must obey the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, again in verse 7, as the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So again, it tells us that Christ is going to come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we must obey the gospel if we want to have a hope of salvation. You know, God provided a way of salvation even for those who crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon there, you know, there were people there that physically took part in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they asked, and we'll begin reading in Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So again, these people physically took part in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They realized what they had done, and they said, what shall we do? And in verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So not only those people, but there were 3,000 souls there that gladly received his word and were baptized. And then on down in verse 47, it tells us, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord does add to the church. I'm glad we don't have a membership committee to decide. And somebody said, well, it was close, but I made it in 5-4 or whatever. The Lord adds us to the church when we do the things that are required of him. You know, we can be ready just as Paul was. Let's look over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul speaking here to Timothy. So I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things and endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So we see some things in this passage so far that he tells him to preach the word always with long suffering and doctrine. And it tells about, this was written again almost 2,000 years ago, that there would be those who shall turn away from the truth and not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So what do we see in the world today? Most of our churches have very small numbers. These mega churches have huge numbers. Why is that? Because they teach what people want to hear and not the truth. Because most people don't want to know the truth, because they don't want to have their sin revealed and realize that they need to be saved. We can continue on reading verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing. So we think about Paul and his life. You know, he persecuted Christians before he realized that he was wrong, when he was known as Saul. But when he realized the error of his ways, that he repented, he was added to the Lord's church, and he was a great evangelist. He wrote about a third of the New Testament. So we look at this and say, well, of course, you know, Paul's going to get a crown of life. In verse 8 it said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And we think, well, of course Paul's going to get a crown of righteousness because of all the things he did. But notice what it says right after that. Paul said, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Well, that's me and you. And you know, when Jesus comes back, we're either going to love his appearing Or there's going to be those that says, oh no, I've waited too long. There's nothing in between. You know, we talked about earlier this week about how people, so many things in this life, you know, if you don't pass in school, you get to go to summer school. If you don't pass your driver's license exam, you can take it again. There's so many second chances in this life. And we'll have a second chance up until that last day. But when that last day comes, we have to be ready. There's no other way. We can't get ready when that time comes. You know, there's so many false doctrines out in the world today that talk about you're going to have a second chance after Jesus comes. That's just not true. And you can't risk your soul on that. We have to be ready all the time. And you know, again, we're not going to live a perfect life as a Christian. But just as Paul did, you have to live a forgiven life, claiming the blood of Jesus Christ and repent as we sin. But we do have to obey the gospel. So what must one do to be saved? We must hear the word of God, as it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must believe, as it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must confess, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. After he was preached, Philip preached Jesus unto him. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must repent. In Acts chapter 17, begin with verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We must be baptized, just as we just read in Acts chapter 2 and 38, to repent and be baptized, but also in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Then we must remain faithful. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13 said, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Then also, sometimes we may fall away or get out of the church or get out of God's will sometime. And we can always come back as long as there's time and opportunity. James chapter 5 verse 16 says to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you're here tonight that never rendered obedience to the gospel, or have and strayed away, or if you just need the prayers of the church for strength, and if we could assist you in any way, we'd ask you to come while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.